That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and happy Friday afternoon to one and all. We made it through yet another wank week in Trump 2.0. You wink and you will miss news like the news we spent the last hour discussing. Folks, if you missed any of the dramatic greeting between former U.S. Attorney James Santel and myself of some of the Todd Blanch interview of Ghislaine Maxwell, don't worry, you can find our dramatic reading in the podcast of this fine program. You can find that wherever you find your favorite podcasts or at civicmedia.us/shows. Right now, I'm really excited to bring on to the program one of my favorite guests, the chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy, Benga Ajilore. Welcome back to the show, Benga. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me back, Maggie.
Wonderful. Lots of action in the area of economics. Of course, we have the Trump on-again, off-again trade wars, escalating tariff levels. We've got Donald Trump's attacks on Jerome Powell. We've got Donald Trump threatening to fire one of the other members of the Federal Reserve Board, ostensibly to stack it with friendlies. All kinds of action. I wanted to just start with Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve Board, had a very important statement this morning. They're all in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I call it summer camp for econ dorks. They're all there. It's a symposium of central bankers. Jerome Powell had some interesting comments related to interest rates. Can you tell us what the upshot of what he said was, Benga?
It was really fascinating because this is going to be his last speech that he's going to give, because his term at chair is going to end in May of next year. And so one of the fascinating things is he was talking about the dual mandate of the Fed, that they have a mandate to full employment, you know, have people have many jobs as possible, and in price stability to keep inflation low. And so it's been a very delicate dance for the last couple of years. And so what he talked about was that there was some softness in the labor market, so that he's thinking about lowering interest rates to deal with that. But at the same time, we have these tariffs, which I know we're going to get into a lot of, that's going to cause increases in price. And so the question is, how do you balance that trade-off? And what he's been says in the speech is basically he's not as concerned about the tariffs creating long-lasting inflation, that there will be a price increase, but they'll be able to kind of navigate that. But he is worried about the softness in the labor market, which we've seen over the last 3 months. And so what's fascinating about that speech is him talking about how he's balancing that trade-off.
Yeah, and the worst thing that you can, aside from being in an outright recession, the worst thing you can have in an economy is stagflation, which generically refers to where you're seeing job losses, in other words, higher unemployment rates, and increasing inflation, and again, referred to as stagflation. This has been difficult for the Fed. This has been a very touchy time. So his comments were very interesting in this broader context. All of this happening as many of our public companies are having their public earnings calls with analysts from the biggest banks in the world, as well as their shareholders, effectively a quarterly report about how the business is doing. And the world's largest retailer, Walmart, had one such earnings call. There's been a lot of reporting about it. As Benga and I know, earnings calls sound like gibberish. It's like a lot of fancy words, but the meaning behind the words is actually pretty simple. It's just the way that CEOs speak when they're talking to financial analysts. So what Benga and I are going to do is we're going to take some clips of Walmart CEO and other top-level Walmart folks in this last earnings call and translate it. Because here is the thing, folks. We've been talking about this for a long time. The tariffs, because of Donald Trump's on-again and off-again approach, have not in any way, shape, or form come to their full fruition or impact yet. And in fact, many of the most devastating tariff levels Donald Trump has pushed off. In other words, he's announced them, and then within days, he's reverted back to a lower tariff level. We do have now, overall, the highest tariff level our country has seen in decades. But again, those impacts haven't fully factored into our economy yet. But what we do know is that businesses have a varied ability to react to increasing supply costs, or the tariff pressures, generically speaking. And it is the largest businesses in the world that are best positioned to be able to absorb those. And so it is relevant to look at what Walmart CEO, the largest retailer in the world with the greatest bargaining power of any retailer in the world, to try to keep their suppliers from jacking up their supply costs. So hearing what this gentleman had to say about the impacts of tariffs is really important. So Benga and I are going to break it down so that you know how to interpret some of the gobbledygook you hear by economics journalists and CEOs on earnings calls. Let's take the first Walmart cut.
With regard to our U.S. pricing decisions, given tariff-related cost pressures, we're doing what we said we would do. We're keeping our prices as low as we can for as long as we can. Our merchants have been creative and acted with urgency to avoid what would have been additional pressure for our customers and members. They've done a terrific job managing pricing and mix across merchandise categories. They managed to generate rollbacks, they've made good quantity and flow decisions, and they've set us up well as we start the back half of the year. As it relates to what we're experiencing with customers and members here in the U.S., their behavior's been generally consistent. We aren't seeing dramatic shifts. The way things have played out so far, the impact of tariffs has been gradual enough that any behavioral adjustments by the customer have been somewhat muted. But as we replenish inventory at post-tariff price levels, we've continued to see our costs increase each week, which we expect will continue into the third and fourth quarters. Not surprisingly, we see more adjustments in middle and lower income households than we do with higher income households. In discretionary categories where item prices have gone up, we see a corresponding moderation in units at the item level as customers switch to other items or, in some cases, categories.
Oh, Mega, it's like the perfect snippet because he's saying some really important stuff, but it just sounds like techno speak. What did you hear in that clip, Benga? And then since I had the privilege of listening to these clips ahead of time, I can fill in the gaps. What were you hearing top line from the Walmart CEO's comments?
I love listening to that. And there's a certain words that jump out. It's like the first word that jumped out to me was pressure. He said pressure a couple times. That talks about how the tariffs impact businesses. That you think about when you get pressure, you try to relieve it. Then the other thing they talked about was, where it was like quantity and flow.
Yes.
When they were talking about how they were able to adjust to the price, the tariffs.
So yes.
It's not that they couldn't, it wasn't that they were raising prices, but they shift the quantity or they shift the flow. Like, oh, this is how they're changing behavior in terms of being able to continue to sell stuff. But the biggest thing that actually jumped out at me was he mentioned, and this is the first time I've listened to it, but it was just like moderation by lower and moderate income households, but high income households were spending. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's so much in that right there, because what it says that this is impacting low and moderate households, and then high income households, they are usually not Walmart shoppers. They shop at other places, but the fact that they're coming to Walmart tells you what's happening. That if they're coming to Walmart to try to find lower prices, that means that that shows the impact.
Yes.
And then the other thing was they talked about timing, how they were able to adjust to the tariffs in the first half of this year.
Yep.
Because what we saw in the beginning of this year, there was a lot of front loading and try to get ahead of the tariffs so that when the tariffs did hit, they were able to sell at a price. And then now they said that we have to kind of replenish the post-tariff price.
Post-tariff means, price levels, yep.
Exactly.
Replenishing so <that's>, inventory.
Exactly, which means prices are going up in quarter three and quarter four. And so be aware.
Prices
are going up. Yeah.
These guys speak in code, and what Dr. Edgelori said is exactly right. Those were my notes. They're trying to absorb the impacts. We've kept our prices as low as we can for as long as we can, which means code. We're now passing it on to folks. They talk about inventory control and targeting pricing, volume targets. Merchants acted with urgency relating to pricing and mix, quantity and flow decisions, which means Walmart, with all of its market power, effectively stocked up inventory at pre-tariff pricing. They have been trying to move the mix of products being sold to customers to keep their profit margins as high as possible while reducing the quantity of the items that they have to absorb the tariff costs on for as long as they could, right? That's all of that jazz. But ultimately, prices are going up. That's the post-tariff price levels, quote unquote, and customers are responding slowly. This is, the behavior has been consistent so far, except he reveals that the impact of tariffs have been gradual enough that behavioral adjustments by the customer have been somewhat muted, except for middle and lower income households. He's telling you, middle and lower income households are getting screwed. And they're not even shopping at Walmart. They have to change what they're buying. Now we see rich folks showing up at Walmart. Boy, yeah, there is price pressure getting passed on to consumers. It's just fascinating. I think we've got time for one more. This is a short one. Let's take the next Walmart cut.
Importantly, as we begin Q3, momentum has persisted and our inventory is at a healthy level, up about 4%. The year-over-year increase in inventory is primarily attributable to higher cost of imported goods and timing of receipts. In this tariff-impacted period, we're closely monitoring customer demand and managing quantity decisions as we measure the price elasticity of impacted items.
Benga, again, it's code, but it's pretty simple. You want to take a crack at that one.
So they use the magic word elasticity.
Yep.
And so elasticity of demand is how much are people responsive to price changes? So that's basically the $1 million question. And that's what they're trying to figure out, you know, customer behavior. They're talking about demand and like decisions that they have to make, which is based on the elasticity of demand, how responsive to price changes. Price goes up, demand is going to go down, but by how much? And that's what they need to figure out.
And except for products that have fairly inelastic demand curves, which means customers so need the products, they can't shift their purchases to a lower grade or cheaper substitute product. And yeah, retailers like Walmart, they damn well want to know what products remain with robust demand, even when prices are rising. And you think about what Walmart sells and the essentialness to so many households, that's what he's indicating. The way I'll put it is this. Hey, maybe customers will just be forced to absorb some of these price costs. You also referencing holding more inventory, the inventory now costing more as they look at cost of goods sold. We're going to have to take a little bit of a break and come back to this. And we're going to tie all of this. The reason that we're focusing on Walmart is that if the largest retailer in the world is now passing tariff-created price increases onto consumer, and we know that that is impacting lower and middle income folks the most, and we know that Walmart is signaling that there will be more cost increases coming, what this means for Wisconsin's family farms and small business owners and even medium business sized owners across this state is quite dire. We're going to continue this discussion with the chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy, Dr. Benga Edgelori, and me, your economist on the radio, your friendly host, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.